This is TSM Zero, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, and welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 130, coming to you live from an undisclosed location. The date, November 12th, 2018. The time, just about 8:50 Central Standard Time. And I know we're late. I know the show starts at 8:30, but we have an excuse this time around. And quite frankly, you can blame the veterans, because we do have Daniel Crothers himself, a disabled vet, and owner of Brigade Esports, a new org on the block, if you will, on the show today, talking about his new team, kind of what it takes to start up an organization in this environment of esports and his charity and all that good stuff, in the spirit of Veterans Day. Get it? Disabled Vet Organization, Veterans Day, it's topical. We will also be discussing Rocket League as they wrap up their Season 6 and a little bit of IEM Chicago. But before we get into all that, let's pimp out the socials. You have our Twitter at The Center Ring for all that fun stuff. Our website, tcr.gg, which will have all the links to our Twitter, our Discord, YouTube, Instagram, whatever thing else you could think of. It's on there, tcr.gg. Also a little cool contact us thing, which will go directly to all of us. So if you have anything to say, let us know. We would love to hear from you, the listener. And of course, we always broadcast these on Twitch as well. So hit us up, twitch.tv/thecenterring, and you can watch the show live on Mondays about 8:30 p.m. Central Time, if you're into that stuff. Before we get into the show again, let's introduce the crew. Of course, you have myself, Tim, Anuj, as always, except for last week, of course, and Brett. So let's get into today's topic, though, shall we? Because there is a lot to discuss. We have the Rocket League finals that ended up wrapping up last night in the finals. Oh my God, my phone is blowing up. What is going on right now? Jesus.
I was sending you cat pictures.
Many things, yeah. Man. Brett, I said you save that stuff till after the show, okay? Save those pics till after the show.
It just couldn't wait. I mean,
when the lighting's right.
We don't want to derail the show. Let's move on. God.
What were you talking about? Rocket League. The season ended up wrapping up yesterday. And man, what a finals it was. The RLCS always delivers, I feel like. You had Cloud9 versus Dignitas in the finals, and that's really what we're going to discuss. Dignitas being the back-to-back defending champions, going for a third one in a row. Some of their players going for their third or fourth.
One, Turbo Pulsa, right.
So they were clearly the favorites coming over from EU. And then you had crowd favorites in Cloud9, making it all the way to the finals after going into the losers in the quarters, losing to Weedem Girls. So lots of interesting storylines when it comes to that. Cloud9 is clearly a crowd favorite. They do have Squishy on the team, which anyone who is familiar in their Rocket League scene, Squishy Muffins, I believe, don't quote me on this, I think they picked him up. After no,
definitely not a furry.
There's only room for one of those. He is like
the polar opposite of furry. He's like
not a furry.
Just go ahead, Tim. You finish your thought. You first.
No,
God, he's starting off great.
He started out as a crowd favorite. He was huge on Twitch. I think they ended up, Squishy Muffins ended up winning DreamHack Austin. I think I'm making that up, but I'm not sure. He won a DreamHack.
He won something of relevance.
And then that's when Cloud9 signed him. Look, I'm no Thorn of Rocket League. I could promise you that right now.
Thorn.
So anyways, Cloud9, they got off into the loser's bracket pretty early on. and they had to fight their way through with some close fights. I mean, they beat NRG 3-2. They beat Flipside 3-2. It was no easy fight. In the losers finals, they were caught up against Weedem Girls again, beating them 4-2. After Dignus Haas was the ones who sent them there. So lots of storylines to even get into the grand finals for Cloud9. But where it gets interesting is in the grand finals, when Dignitas this entire season has not lost a single match against anyone, and Cloud9 made them look like an academy team.
So, yeah, I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, Dignitas was the overwhelming favorite. Nobody had Cloud9 winning outside of Cloud9 fanboys, right? I mean, Dignitas...
I had them win.
They quite... Yeah, I know, fanboy. I did not have them winning, to be honest. I mean, I had Dignitas winning this pretty handedly. I didn't even think Cloud9 was going to be able to reset the bracket. I mean, they have arguably the best player in the world in KDOP. And one of the best playmakers in the world in Violent Panda. So, and they had Turbo Pulsa, who was going for his fourth world championship in a row. So, I mean, all the odds were against them. But to me, I would like to point out just one thing that I feel kind of worked in Cloud9's favor was the fact that Cloud9 had played, I believe they had played Chiefs, Weedem Girls, and then played Dignitas. So they were already warmed up by the time they played Dignitas, and Dignitas were just kind of sitting there for a while. So, I mean, if they had any edge, I guess you could give them the edge in that regard. But like I said, no one saw it coming. They had the perfect game plan. They kind of surprised Dignitas with just hitting them hard right off the face off. I mean, they were double committing on face-offs right away, scoring goals right away in a matter of seconds. And it just felt like Dignitas was like, whoa, you know, this is not the same NA team in NRG that we played last year. This team is confident. They're cocky and skillful, mechanical, and
I mean,
they showed it. It was
awesome. Right? It wasn't even that... Like, yeah, mechanics had a thing, right? But when you are shutting them out in the first set in the grand finals, they shut them out two matches in a row.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
best of three. It's
a best of seven. Yeah.
They beat them in back to back best of sevens.
Right, and not only did they beat them, they destroyed them. I mean, they only took two maps. Yeah, like I said, nobody saw that coming. But, I mean, like I said, they had the perfect game plan. They boost-starved Dignitas to the point where they couldn't get the ball out of their own zone. You know, they would knock it out. Cloud9 would go right back in because their rotations were on point, and they were constantly full boost. I mean, it was picture-perfect beauty. Props to Cloud9. They had the perfect game plan.
Mm-hmm. They really did. And I think you saw it in the first set of grand finals. Apart from game four, when Dignitas shut them out, beating them 4-0, which was the only time Dignitas kind of gave Cloud9 a piece of their own medicine, right? Just playing that super aggressive game. They were going for the demos, right? They were knocking Cloud9 out of position at that point. You could tell that they were almost playing pissed off.
Yeah, and you know who you can blame for that. You can actually blame Weedem Girls from the previous in the semifinals, because Weedem Girls was, I hate saying that name, by the way. They need an organization quick. But
WDG?
WDG. Let's just call them that from now on. But
are they all girls?
Weedem Girls,
I don't even know.
No, you can actually blame Envious for ditching two of the guys, and then Mesonoris was
upsetting.
Plating for
None
complexity.
None of them are girls.
Yeah, right. No, they're actually a really good team. And you can blame that team, I'll just call them that team from now on, for playing that aggressive style and kind of, like you said, Tim, pissing off Cloud9, because it got to the point where Squishy was like, all right, I'm tired of it. Enough. And he started that demo game, that really aggressive game, and they kind of carried it into the finals, which was pretty awesome to see.
And I made the declaration that in match two, game five, right? One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, game five. Mm-hmm. Cloud9 was up by two goals with a minute to go. And I made the statement in our Discord, which anyone can join, by the way. During these big events, we're always typically on. One of us are on our voice chat, and you can listen to it live as we commentate these games.
Live as we're cussing during like Battlefield matches and watching the game.
Well, you know, we're doing other stuff, but you get it.
No,
get it.
I was watching the game, listener. I was fully attentive because I love you.
With a minute to go, Cloud9 was up by two. And this is to win the whole thing. And I said,
"Yeah,
Cloud9's got it. This game's over." And Brett was like, "Oh, no, no. There's a minute left. There's a minute left. Yeah. They could come back." Well,
all right. So let's preface this. 1 minute left. It was 1 minute to the second. And within 10 seconds, so at second 50, 10 seconds have gone off. Dignitas scored, and then Cloud9 scored. In Rocket League, you can score so fast off of a face-off, it's insane, even at the pro level. Because half the time you don't know where that ball is going.
If you are in the finals, and you have Cloud9, or any team for that matter, playing the way Cloud9 was playing, with a minute left, with a two-goal lead, I will put my money on that team.
Fans are going to be on them, but there is a lot of randomness to the game in general, right? Like, you don't dictate which way the ball is going. Like Brett said, on a face-off especially, it's so difficult. You can dictate it once it's in play and, you know, you angle how you do it. But on that face-off, both teams going head-on, you don't know where it's going to bounce. It could easily take a bounce one way. And we've all played Rocket League, right? There's still a lot of, like, I mean, God forbid it hits off of somebody on the back of their car or something. It goes whichever direction.
I mean, this does not happen at this level, though.
Let's rewind to last year, during the finals of the Rocket League Championship Series Season 5. You know, NRG scored in zero time, and it wasn't that they scored in zero time. Like 10 seconds have rattled off in zero time, keeping the ball up. Before NRG scored that amazing goal to bring them to overtime. So, I mean, what I'm saying was I was confident that Cloud9 were going to win, but I knew that it wasn't over until that clock hit zero. Because, I mean, they were playing a world-class team that, you know, can score three goals in like a matter of like 30 seconds. I mean, but, you know, props to Cloud9. They stayed aggressive. Even to the end, you know, keeping the ball out of their own end. So, you know, like I said, they did not falter from the game plan. They stuck with it. And we have an NA champion. So there you go.
So Cloud9 can put another trophy in the case after this one.
They are so spoiled. Crazy, isn't it? They are so spoiled. You know,
they're having
it's a good year to be a Cloud9 fan. Good year.
God. Can they just like let somebody else?
I mean, you have the major in Boston for Counter-Strike, which seems like an eternity ago, but we'll still take it. You had London Spitfire winning in Overwatch League, which is owned by Cloud9, so that counts as far as an organization goes. You had their League of Legends team making a historic run in the LCS, not getting to
which
the finals.
Which felt like a championship, though, honestly.
Exactly, right. For the league fans, yes, that definitely felt like they won it all. I mean, hell, it wasn't even like after Invictus won or after it was Invictus and Fnatic, like no one even talked about the finals. It was all about Cloud9 until Cloud9 was out. That speaks volume there. And then now this, right? It's just an insane year for that organization. Like, no wonder they're on Forbes' predicted list to be like the next billion-dollar franchise.
If you want to see just a picture that'll make your jaw drop, this I forget who posted it, but it showed all of Cloud9's like top three or top four finishes for the year, and it is pretty insane. That is a book.
Yeah, like, it's a lot. Top three is
so many. Yeah, it's so many.
I do want to also preface here. Discord has been acting funny like all week, and that's what we use to record the podcast on. If this episode sounds funny, I'm 100% blaming Discord. I know I hear it on my end. I don't know if it's going to sound like that in the recording. Whatever. It's not my fault. I'm not taking the blame on this one. I could screw up the audio on my own. I don't need Discord helping me. So
Tim has no problem taking the L ever.
Yeah, no problem. Ever. Listen, all right. I have been the one who, you know, had an interview and then forgot to hit record throughout the interview. So it happens.
The first show.
It happens. Or the first show ever. That's right. Yeah. Fun TCR fact. If you're a new listener and you haven't heard the story before, just quickly, episode 1 of TCR was fully recorded. It's not that I forgot to hit record. It's that I didn't know if the computer went to sleep, it killed the recording. So my computer, it didn't go to sleep, but like the screen went off. And then I turn it on. I wake it up after the recording and I'm like, that was a good show, Brandon, to my old co-host. And all of a sudden I was like, why is it 10 minutes long?
And then I was like, Tim fired him right after that episode.
Yeah, I was like, okay, well, I guess we'll have to do it again and try to make it seem like we haven't done this already. So it happens. All right, and next on the show, it's actually a listener of the show and a team owner of an esports organization. And with yesterday being Veterans Day, they approached me and kind of had this idea of maybe coming on the show, talking about their org, their charity work, and everything there. So right now we have owner of Brigade Esports, Daniel Crothers. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hello. Thank you for joining. I know you reached out, so I thought that was very cool that, A, you were a listener. Thank you. You're a very exclusive club. I think there's about 10 of you, so congratulations on that. But no, I love the idea that it was Veterans Day and you're like, hey, you know, you yourself are a disabled combat vet of 6 years serving the U.S. Army. So thank you for that.
Appreciate it.
100%.
And now you find yourself owning your own esports team, Brigade Esports, which was founded almost a year. It was January of this year. So you guys are like fresh on the scene, is that correct?
Absolutely.
So yes. How does that happen, I guess? How does one go from serving in the military to being like, I think I'm going to own my esports team?
Well, I think that, I mean, it all kicked off when one of our first players, Titan Styles, who's a Rocket League player, Grand Champion, we had a conversation one night about how he wanted to get into esports, how he wanted to start a competitive team and kind of go, you know, towards the highest tier of competition, which is RLCS. And me, as someone who has an IT and business background, I saw a fit there. And it was obviously, as a gamer myself, it was something that I wanted to get into as well. So we talked about it for a while. We started in January. I started researching into it, reading a lot of articles, reading a lot of reference material, if you will. And then it took us about, I think, until July when we actually released the organization. So it took us that many months to kind of get my head around this new market, which is esports. As a gamer, you know, it's something that we knew esports were going to get bigger and bigger and bigger since we were younger. They've been having LANs for the longest time. So it's something that I know that it's still in its infancy, I think. Esports is going to grow more and more and more every year. And I saw a opportunity with really good players and blessed to have really good players. So it's something that I'm passionate about. I think that everything that I've done in my life has kind of led me to this point. So I think all the pieces to the puzzle kind of fit.
And I'm always kind of interested to see how, for example, we talked to a coach, an esports coach at a university, and just, you know, picked his brain on how he scouts players. So you talked about the one guy you have on your team. How did you find the other guys?
Most of the time we find we know high level players. or we find high-level players and we say, who do you play with? You know, who are the guys you think would be a good fit for the organization? Because usually someone at the higher levels of competition for different games, they play with typically guys that are higher levels of the same game. So it's an easy fit once you find that good, solid core person to say, you know, who around you would you think would be a good competitive player? And we were blessed to get a really good team right off the bat, which doesn't necessarily happen in esports. When you start small, when you bootstrap, usually you create a couple teams and you kind of adjust as you go, and they get better and you get more competitive. We kind of came out of the gate. Our first tournament was the RLRS play-ins. And we actually won the loser's bracket and went and got to go to the qualifiers. And that was our first tournament as a team 2 weeks after we announced. So that's pretty, I felt that was pretty impressive considering we had just started, they just started playing together. And we had that sort of success right out of the gate.
In terms of like level of where the RLRS championship series is, for our listeners that maybe don't know as much about Rocket League, including myself, you know, I watch, you know, the championships and all that when they happen, but I'm not an avid player of the game. Where does that kind of rank in terms of the best of the best? You know, is this considered like semi-pro, or is this at a professional level? Where does it kind of fall in that mixing or grouping?
Well, I think at that level, RLRS and RLCS is basically, it's about how good you are with mechanic, right? There's so many different mechanics in Rocket League, and you have to know each one pretty well as you get, you know, higher and higher. And some people are better at others. You know, that's why you got to have a good team cohesion and fit. But RLRS, excuse me.
Dude, I was struggling before the show. Don't feel bad.
It's a rival series.
Rival series. Yeah, that's rival much, series. Yeah.
I was like, the RLLR, like, God. It's not the easiest acronym, so I don't blame you.
So, and, you know, they're only a few games out from being in the big show. You know, and the same thing with being qualifiers. You're only a few games out. You know, we were three games away from making it into the rival series. So it's all about who you play, when you play them. As you can see during RLCS, you know, everyone said Digitas is going to win it all, and Cloud just brought it home to the NA. Absolutely. Congrats to them. But they played amazingly well at that time. If they played the next day against the same team, it could have been roles reversed. So Rocket League is very skill-based individually and team-wise, but it's still kind of... There is a little bit, I think, RNG to the equation where any given day, it can go either way. So it's how you're playing on that specific tournament and that specific game, and how the kind of the other team plays against you and how you can counter it, like makes you successful or not.
Now, what's the plan for this team? Like, are there any league play coming up that they're going to be involved in, or where do they kind of go from here?
We've been scouting a few. Right now, we're kind of hitting ESL mostly every Sunday. We have played a couple other tournaments and leagues and stuff, and we're looking for more leagues and more opportunities for these guys to get more practice, more time in, playing against more players, be experienced some more skill sets, to kind of increase their ability in-game and to help build that team cohesion.
Have you guys being like the new kid on the block, right, per se, as far as like you're a fresh esports organization... have you felt that the community from because I assume you guys have already pretty much made connections with some top tier, in this scenario, Rocket League teams, or, you know, at least have some connections there. I guess what I'm trying to say is the old dogs, right, of the scene, do you find them welcoming to a new team, or are they kind of like, all right, dude, you're a new team. There's a new team every day. We'll see if you're here next year.
Overall, I mean, most of the fans we have now that are pretty diehard, already know the players that we have. We have two teams now. One's an academy team that we set up as kind of a farm system, kind of a way to help nurture younger talent and, you know, and create another set of great players that we can utilize as well. Most of the time, the communities from each one of those players, because most of them are streamers as well, has really jumped on. And the biggest thing now is just awareness. It's about getting our message out there and showing kind of, you know, what we're trying to do, how we're trying to do it the right way, the efforts with charity and everything else. And then most people are receptive to that.
I do want to talk about the charity because I did think that was very cool. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. 5% of the top line profits and 10% of merch profit goes to a select veteran charity of your choice, correct?
Correct. Every year, we call it Operation Vanguard. Every year, we're going to select a veteran-oriented charity, and we're going to give 10% of merch profit and then 5% of all other profit to that charity at the end of the year. Along with, they get a full sponsor spot. They're included in our marketing, on our website, on our jerseys. We're going to do a couple different events throughout the year to do a couple charity drives to raise money as well. Those of our staff and members that are streamers themselves. Something that it was when I first created the charity, something dear to me, very dear to a lot of we have a few veterans in the organization as well. And it was something that was very important for us to be able to give back and have that sense of community and charity built as a core tenet of the actual esports organization itself.
That was actually going to be my question, is like, when you started Brigade, was that something like you knew right away that you were also going to use this not only as a tool to, you know, maybe as an excuse to play more games, right? But to say like, hey, I'm going to keep my roots with the military. I want to give back to the military. And you know what? If esports is the way to do it, which by the way, I do feel like there's maybe a void in esports.
Correct.
Like there's really, I guess you look at traditional sports, right? And they're very tight knit with the military. You see military appreciation nights. You see, you know, the national anthem is one that people will always bring up or anything like that. Where with esports, I feel like there was that avenue to get into where it's like, hey, you know, people in the military also pay attention to this stuff too.
Well, there's actually, I mean, it's amazing how many gamers and streamers I found that are in the military. Before Twitch removed communities, that was a great avenue for veterans to connect with each other when they had their veterans community. They still don't have a veterans tag. I'll just let that be. But for the most part, it's firstly, it's doing the right thing. Two, it does give us a uniqueness factor.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that we have yet to find. Therefore, we call it an esports first. I haven't seen it. Our sponsors haven't seen it.
If our validation means anything to you, I will also say it's a first, because I don't think I've seen any organization try to make that tie to the military, charities or anything like that, the way you guys are doing it.
Yeah. And so we wanted to release early, but we didn't want to release too early. We wanted to make sure we got on our feet. We started showing that we're not going anywhere. We are just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
Before we start approaching charities, Stack Up is our charity for the rest of this year into next year, since we released so late in the year. So they will be our charity for Operation Vanguard for this year and next year.
All right. So you guys just released a new website yesterday on Veterans Day. It looks very clean.
Thank you very much.
Logo is very nice, very professional looking. I like it.
Thank you.
I like it. Now, you guys are right now in Rocket League. That's where a lot of your focus is. As you mentioned, one of the founding people of your organization, I mean, he played Rocket League, right, on a high level, so it's just kind of fit in that way. But you are also looking for Siege, PUBG, Fortnite. I mean, I know beforehand you told me a lot of games. Is it kind of like a strategy of like, hey, we're just going to throw it all at the wall and see what sticks? Or as a new team, I guess you really don't want to get too over ambitious, but how do you make that decision on what games to get into?
Okay, so I'll give you listeners a treat. We've been teasing it for a while on our Twitter page. So those of you who have been paying attention know it's coming, but I think it'll be, what is today?
The 12th.
Today's the 12th?
12th. About 7 to 8 days from now, we'll be releasing a Siege team in our first foray into a game other than Rocket League. We also have other teams we're trying to develop in other sports, but we haven't finalized everything there yet, so not ready to disclose that just yet. But
we'll be adding a Siege team.
Awesome.
Correct. And it's even better than that, but everyone's going to have to wait for the details.
What a pro. Look at the tease. The man's a professional.
But at the same time, I'm not looking to add teams just to add teams. I want to make sure we add a team, we get them into a rhythm, we nurture them, we provide them what they need, give them support they need before we start looking to add something else. I'm not someone who wants to have 87 teams just to say, hey, look at me, I have 87 teams. A lot of people also have the misconception that as a veteran-owned organization, that we only look for military veterans. That's not necessarily true. We do have a lot of veterans within the organization, staff level and player level, and we do give somewhat of a priority to that. But we're looking for the best talent that we can get. We are looking to make a legitimate attempt to be a top-tier esports organization.
Yeah, and that's that healthy balance, right? I mean, to stay relevant, you do need to find the best talent. But I'm curious, are the players on your team, are they living together? Are they playing more like online together? How's that dynamic work in your organization?
You said, are they living together?
Yeah, I mean, do they, you know, house or live in the same area? Are they playing LAN? Are they practicing online?
100% online. 100%. We have players from currently. We have a player from Canada. We have the rest of the players are from the United States, living all across the states, including myself. So we don't have any, you know, we don't have a brigade house, if you will. At least not yet. It's too early for that.
Not yet. Hey.
They're still new. We'll get there.
As of right now, it's entirely online. You know, since we aren't able to do what the big boys do and kind of pay their salaries and stuff. You know, they have full-time jobs, they have family, and that stuff comes first. But we have dedicated players, we have dedicated staff.
Yeah, right.
So we brought in a lot of dedicated people to the organization, and we have I think we're a lot farther ahead than I originally thought we would be at this point.
I want to ask something, though, that you brought up about, you know, like the team house or what you offer, right? It's not, and obviously so, it's not like what the big guys can offer. Clearly, if you and Cloud9 went head to head, Cloud9 could probably convince someone. What is your sales pitch then to a player, right, to join your Siege team or Rocket League team as a org just now getting into esports? How is that dynamic trying to get players to jump onto what you guys are selling?
Basically, I think it comes down to just being honest. Now, this is what we can provide for you. This is how we've grown. This is what we're able to provide for you now. Another thing about the core tenets of the organization is the mission statement internally is do the right thing. And that extends far beyond just charity work. It also extends to the players and the team. We are a for-profit organization. We are looking to turn profit and get a return. However, our first priority is making sure that our players and our staff are compensated, taken care of, supported, got what they need way before I touch a single penny of the organization. It's about doing the right thing, right? There's a lot of, not to badmouth current organizations, but many of the organizations out there, you know, small, large, they're very money hungry. They're very corporate. They're very clean cut. There's not a lot of emotion involved, I think. There's not a huge connection to its community. And these are kind of things that we're not looking to be the mold, but we're looking to push it further. We're looking to, you know, make sure that your players have are taken care of, make sure they have health care, make sure they have, you know, the things they need as if it was a normal job per se. But also go even further, players can't play forever, right? Just like athletes can't play forever. So, you know, if we can do something to get partnerships with universities so when they leave, they have that extra step to get back into the real world, so to speak. So basically make sure you take care of your people. And that's another core tenet of the organization.
Well, like I said, I do love it. I think that you guys are definitely sticking true to your mission statement and operating in the right way, because it is going to be, interesting to see how, like I said, it's to me, the one thing that interests me is that I kind of like your point of view, right? Esports is still growing, even though to some, it's blown up. Depending on how far back you have been into the scene, it's like, I don't see how it could get any bigger. But I also remember that saying, you know, playing Halo 2 on bleachers at a hotel or at, you know, a Circuit City in a tournament, right? I was like, I don't know how esports can get any bigger. I think it's pretty awesome.
I still think it's in its infancy. I think it's going to, I mean, Korea has been streaming esports on prime time since the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think we're going to get there as well. I mean, we've already kind of made that push. I think the TBS is doing a Call of Duty through E-League. So there's
actually,
I think
doing
we're just
League
getting started. We're just getting started. Yeah. So it's a good time to be in esports, honestly.
Well, Daniel, I do want to thank you again for coming on the show. Again, to our listeners, go right now to their Twitter, at BrigadeGG. Hit them, give them a follow, and you can say you were there for when all the fun times started. Go buy a t-shirt. Not only are you getting a very stylish t-shirt, but it's also going to charity, which how can you beat that? Very interesting stuff there from Daniel and the guys at Brigade Esports. I really do think it's cool, though, on what they're doing with charity and, you know, integrating it with esports and the military. I honestly, like, I thought ahead of time, too. I can't think of another org that does it. So they are going to be, in my eyes, the first to do that. So, again, you can check them out at Twitter, Brigade, what was it?
Brigade.gg, right?
No, that's BrigadeGG.
BrigadeGG on Twitter. Yeah. So go ahead and give them a follow. And you know what? It's our special Veterans Day episode. Go buy a t-shirt or wait a week until whenever the new merch comes up. And then go buy a t-shirt. And you're also giving to charity. You're getting a cool shirt. And everyone wins. Because Lord knows you can only do charity if you get something out of it. Let's talk about, though, getting something out of it. And that's IEM Chicago. What did you get out of this, Anuj?
Astralis is still the best team in the world.
Whoa! You slow down there with that hot sports opinion. Yeah.
I don't want to go crazy. Okay. You want a couple of hot takes? I'll give you a couple of hot takes.
Please. Here. Please do.
A hot take one, LDLC is the best French team. I don't say that just because they performed well in this tournament. It's been multiple tournaments in a row, as well as league play.
Compared to who,
really
though? G2?
Well. And Vitality.
Okay.
Yeah, G2 and Vitality. Vitality is
I
the other group with NBK
and
Apex.
I forget that they were picked up.
They have the most young talent, and that's the future of the French team is going to be the young talent. Like, the French scene will be the young talent, maybe mixed in with an old guy or two, but you're never going to see a championship form come from the older crew, I don't think. I just don't think it's possible. I think there's too many allegiances to individuals and too much drama that they've created. And I think it'll be the younger French team maybe picking up an old vet to help them get over the hump. But LDLC to me is...
I think we've said it before too, right? Is like the old French scene, right? G2 and old Envy, now Vitality. They've kind of, like, the French team kind of imploded on themselves. They kind of did it to themselves by making these clicks, and you're finally seeing this team in LDLC kind of break away from that clicky environment in the French CSGO scene.
They basically kicked out Kyoshima and Scream out of the French scene altogether, right? And I think these are two of the better talents. You've seen Kyoshima perform at the highest level with a higher success rate than most people in the French scene, right? The last time the French did something was 2015, DreamHack, right? Is when they won their last major. Mm-hmm. Kyoshima, we've seen advance much further into tournaments, whether it be with FaZe and, you know, I have to recall the other teams, but he's advanced far and played, a pivotal role, even though he hasn't really stuck to some of those teams. Now, obviously, being the new fifth on Cloud9, I think that's a good addition for them. Other hot take from this would be MIBR's experiment is like really getting old now. I'm not sure what the problem is here. I think everybody believes Fallen still has it in him, right? To at least be the one of the better in-game leaders. Like, he was such a tactician, and to completely this team to completely kind of disappear off the map is really mind-blowing. But they have consistently performed poor. You know, they haven't had like good showings with like an off night, right? It's really been a bunch of bad showings with an occasional good game mixed in there, but they haven't been able to do it in even a 3-map series, let alone think about having a chance to play in some of these 5-map. I mean, I just don't know where they're going to get it from.
So if you had to put a finger on it, Anuj, like where would you... I mean, they're obviously they have several things going against them, right? But what do you think is like priority one?
Like, honestly, like, I don't even want this. I don't know how this is going to sound. And maybe like the guy on the Twitch thing, I should probably just stop. No, I think they need to go back to a Brazilian squad. I think communication and passion for the game was at a different level when they were playing with their own countrymen. And I think that's huge when it comes to the communication standpoint. Mm-hmm. They are having to call in English now, whether you think that's a big deal or not, because we've heard Fallen speak in English for years. Like FNX, not FNX, Taco and Cold, like you really didn't hear them speaking in English up until about 2 years ago, maybe, and maybe not even that long, you know? I think all of that makes a difference. Like, I think it's different if you maybe have, you know, one NA player there. They have two that are playing such prominent roles. Like, Stewie was calling for a period of time for them, you know? So, Tarek also being in a lead position and having to make calls, like, it's a big deal to have to change that up. And
we talked about it last week's episode. You would know, Anuj, but you weren't there.
I hit play to give us the listen.
Okay, I appreciate it.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
That's all we can ask for, buddy. Really. We can all only ask for that. I don't even think my own wife hits play, so we get a listen. So I appreciate it. No, we did. I did say that last week, though, that I think whether it's their fault or not, I do think Rush and Tarek are going to be the first two out of this because they are the odd men out.
Stewie and Tarek.
You know what I mean. I think that they are going to be the first two out of this just because for everything, Anuj, you pretty much just said, they are the odd men out. Imagine like if we went to go play on a different team and they did Spanish or something, right? You might know the callouts. You can learn the callouts in another language. But when it comes to like a strategy timeout and they're trying to get their point across or something, or even like the heat of the moment, right?
It's the mid-game calls. Like
yes,
you said, the mid-game calls.
You're sitting here trying to have a conversation mid-game to figure something out, and you just can't do it in a comfortable, fluid motion. And especially like in their situation now where MIBR, you know they're frustrated, right? You know that team is frustrated, especially with the standards that all of the people on the roster came to do. You can't even just say, well, it's Fallen and Cold and, you know, I mean, Stewie and Tarek just got off of winning a major. Their standards are just as high.
Yeah, and like communication, I think it's a part of it. It's a key to the puzzle. I think the other half of it is Cold is not the player that he was. I mean, he's not regarded as the best player in the world anymore. Fallen is not regarded as the best opera in the world anymore. So when when the expectations of Stewie and Tarek were joining this team that they were not going to be the best players on, I mean, the expectations, they weren't the best players on the team. Right. Mm-hmm. Now they're having to play a bigger role because Cold and Fallen have both fallen off to a certain extent. I think, Cold was at such another level when he was in his prime. You know, for those of you that weren't watching consistently a year and a half ago, what Simple is doing now, Cold was basically doing then. I know everyone's saying like Simple is the best player of our generation. I mean, Cold was doing this for a solid couple of years at that level. They were winning championships and he was the most dominant player making all the plays for them. And then you had Fallen who came in as at that time, again, the best opper. With both of them being mid tier, it's a good team, you know, but you're not going to beat a team like Astralis at that level. And right now they're having problems with their teams like NRG and, you know, other NA teams are not able to beat Liquid. They're not beating FaZe. Yeah, I mean, they're not beating Na'Vi. They're not beating these good teams, and they're kind of hardly hanging on against the average ones. So they're going to keep gutting it out. There's a lot of money invested here. It's not going to be a quick, hey, you're gone. These buyouts they paid for some of these guys were probably pretty ridiculous. You're probably not going to get that type of return value. So I think their best shot is to keep grinding away because you know the talent's there, but how long are you going to keep waiting?
Yeah.
Jack's laughing all the way to the bank too. Like he gets this huge buyout and then they just start winning championships another.
But at the same time,
God, man, it's like
on the reverse end, C9 is plummeted since all these moves have happened, right? You take out, yeah, he's excited that maybe he got a lot of money in the bank, but Jack's winning championships right now, right? And I know he got the CS major early in the year, and it still means a shit ton to NA fans around the world, and it's never going to go anywhere. But you are in a totally different position today than you were 9 months ago. You went from being a consistent top five team coming off of a major win to barely hanging on. I mean, I think they're 25 or like low 20s right now.
Yeah.
You could think
of like five different NA teams that are better than them right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
you really
just
can't.
Like, you could fire them off.
They're not even really NA anymore, are they? They're not NA now. They have 3 Euros on the team, don't they?
That is
2.
They have Golden. They have Flusha.
Oh, my God. I forgot about Golden.
Kiyoshima.
You're right.
So they're a world team now.
Yeah. Man. So
that is so weird.
It's just to think. I don't know. It's really weird when you think, like, have you ever seen a roster move fail so hard for both teams? Like,
yeah, because it wasn't a roster move for C9. I mean, it's not like they wanted to give them up.
But they did give them up.
Stewie asked to leave and Jack worked
right.
a deal
That's
out
what
to
I'm saying.
Make
he
it
could
happen,
have
right?
said no, though. He could have been like, no, we're going to stick this out. You are on this roster, and this is how this team's going to work it. You know?
Man, it's can not you like, imagine, though?
I
like,
know.
That's not...
But nonetheless, yeah. he did let it happen, right? It was a roster move. And like even then, they've tried to recover from it, and it just hasn't even gotten
it blown up. Yeah.
Working
it's...
out.
Again, I still think it feels like a temporary team. At least they fielded a decent roster here, though. So, excuse me, they'll be able to compete to a certain extent. But if they have to play EU, which I don't exactly know how that works, unless they're all moving here and living here in the States, it's not going to be an easy run for them. I don't think we'll see them, you know, taking any trophies in the next year. MIBR, I think everybody still believes they can win, right? I don't think anyone's sitting here saying they're a dead team. Like looking
we've
at the
said
talent,
it before, their issue is that it's since February of this year, it has been a rotating door of not just like a fifth player, right? Of a fourth and fifth player.
Yeah.
You know, it's really been just, and then you've had the Skadoodle retirement looming over you the whole time. It's really hasn't been a stable year at all for that roster. Yeah. Like I said, I don't even know if I'm a fan of their current roster, but my God, just let it play out at this point. Like I don't even care. Just let it see if they can work it out at this point.
I think another team that we're going to see debating what to do is going to be FaZe here next, right? Like FaZe came in third in this tournament, or third, fourth, whatever, in this tournament. They looked really good and you know, eventually, obviously, until they lost, it's kind of easy to say, or a simple way of putting it. But they also played against Liquid, who has played them well, notoriously played them well. Like, Liquid's not an easy team to get by. You're talking about a top 5 team in the world there. Mm-hmm. So, but FaZe's issue is, again, do we try this with Kerrigan, keep going this route, see if we can get over the hump? Like, can we find a better in-game leader? I don't think they want Nico calling. Kerrigan's saving grace could honestly be this change in the money situation for CS, where the AUG is a relevant weapon. He plays really well with those guns. He actually played pretty well in this tournament using those weapons. And so if that's something that helps his game, you know, awesome. I think we saw those guns come out more in this tournament than I've ever seen in the last 5 years of CS. You're noticing people buy the AUG a lot now. So maybe they try that and see, you know, if he performs better, but I think they're next on the chopping block to make a decision. Like, we're going to keep them or we're going to make this change.
And then you did
what
have...
were you saying, Brett?
No, I was going to say, you know, it's pretty cool to see the AUG being used in a way that I wasn't really expecting the AUG to be used.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
not
did
really
notice
ADSing,
more in this tournament,
but yeah.
Right?
Yeah, not really ADSing, but, you know, shooting with normal sights is...
Yeah, and even with ADSing, like, you're seeing it hold down some really great angles that... Generally, you would want an op in those situations, or you're leaving yourself pretty vulnerable. But that first shot's so accurate with it. They're really holding down some longer range points that are benefiting them in maps like Overpass. You're seeing it being used more of different areas of train, depending on where you're playing. It's like been helpful to see down the lanes and all that. And it's got great armor pen. So if you can get the spray pattern down, which I think they're probably practicing now, I think we'll see it come out more and more, especially even the SG. The SG has 100% armor pen. Like, it's crazy powerful if people just master the spray pattern on it, which I think we'll just see as people become more comfortable using the gun. finals, you know, any surprises there? I mean, in terms of what y'all watched?
Not once I saw after the first map. When Liquid ended up blowing the first map and not taking it, I think right there, because I'm pretty sure Mirage was their pick. Yeah, they didn't ban Nuke against Astralis, which, why people aren't banning Nuke. Like, I get every team has their auto ban, right? But when you're playing Astralis, Nuke is your auto ban.
It's weird, because Liquid has played really well on Nuke against other teams, and they've played Astralis really well. Granted, you're right, they've been on the losing end every time they've played them, but they've had some really good matches on Nuke, and I think Liquid is just comfortable on that map also. They needed to take Mirage. Mirage and Inferno, I think, are two maps where they were really hoping, you know, you would get to that point where it goes to a Dust 2, a little bit more of a 50-50 map in that sense. Losing Mirage, though, for sure, you kind of saw that being the nail in the coffin already, because then they got to Nuke, and Astralis have done what they've done over the past 25 games on it, which is not lose. At that point, you go down 0-2. I can't imagine how demoralizing that's got to be, seeing Astralis from the other side. Yeah.
Sponge made an interesting comment in the post game, where he was like, this might be the last time we see this roster of Liquid compete. And then he quickly backtracked and was like, well, I'm not saying I think it. But he did bring it up, and it started the discussion of, you know, has this Liquid roster ran its course? I personally don't think so. In fact, I feel like it would be really dumb of any team to make a roster move after losing to Astralis in the grand finals of a tournament. Like, do not judge your performance on if you won or lost against Astralis, because if that was the case, every team would be making roster moves now. And I also think, like, with this roster for Liquid, I mean, they have been playing really well ever since Taco really joined the team. You know, I really like the way they mix it up. I felt like for a while there, Nitro's play was getting stale, but then they made the roster moves, and he seems to kind of be re-energized. Twist, I think, is, you know, one, you know, haircut away from asking for your manager, but I really like his play style.
Twist has become a top 10 player in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, Twist has consistently been playing at a high level in a carry type form. Like, he is the carry on that team now, I feel, over a Liege. I mean, you look at Twist as the most dangerous player on that team, and he's grown so much since we first met him back at ESL Dallas, which I think was one of his first lands at the time. Yeah. And might have been his first land, actually, when we interviewed him. And to see where he's at now, like, this kid's come into pure form. And I remember we were dogging on him a little bit because he's the one that dropped out of high school at the time to, like, go pro. And we're like, oh, gosh, that's one of those decisions that we hope you don't regret. Like, obviously, you wish him all the best, but you're, like, in your mind cringing really, really hard.
I still don't support that, kids.
Still not a good idea. Don't do it. But, he's become one of the top 10 players in the world. I think without a doubt, he's on one of the best teams, being the best player. Can't question that. Allege was actually the poorest performer, unfortunately, in this BO3. I think it's just a tough series for them. Dude, Astralis, really, really on another level. One tournament away now from getting that Intel Masters Championship Series, Rival Series, League Championship Series. Yeah, whatever. No, now it's
that's the longest name.
Oh, okay.
One more to go, and they get the extra million. So these guys are on a roll.
So, thinking outside the box, just going back to Sponge's comment, maybe Taco getting homesick? You know, we were talking about SK.
Yeah, you know, the issue there,
maybe
though,
not things
is
working out. Is that LA bridge burned? I don't know.
When you say SK,
in LA, though,
do you mean MIBR or do
it might be R.
Okay,
it might be R. It's like that. It's like that. It's like that. L.A. Chargers versus like San Diego.
San Diego. Okay, so you mean going back to MIBR?
Going back to MIBR.
You know, refresh my memory.
Thinking outside the box.
I thought, at least this is how, from an outsider's perspective, when he left MIBR, I felt like that was pretty a rough exit. Like, I didn't feel like that was like a, hey, man, go get him. And then they kind of ruffled his hair and sent him on his way. I felt like he really, like, I didn't feel like that was like as mutual of a breakup as it looked. So I don't know if he would go back to MIBR, especially after seeing them struggling. Like, why would he be homesick enough to go there?
I mean, it would make for an awesome storyline. I think that's kind of cool outside the box thinking, because now my mind started wandering when you said that. I'm like, damn, you move Stewie over to Liquid. If they wanted to do a double replacement, like
I think Nitro, that's more likely, right? I think the discussion. Nitro, I think the discussion would start on MIBR's end, right? They would be having to call Liquid and being like, "Hey, buddy, you
want to
give us?"
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely have to be mutual, because Taka would have to want to go to that team 100%, right? Mm-hmm. But you do some sort of.
And he still has Zeus, right? It's not like he's completely away from his people. You know, he's with Zeus.
Yeah, no, for sure. And Zeus is kind of the other tie-in here, right? Not like Taco just going to Liquid, but Zeus being the coach of Liquid when he was coaching at the time SK, when they were winning all those championships, right? So when they were like in SK form and Luminosity, I think it was also... I think even more so Luminosity actually than SK, when they were winning all those championships, Zeus was the coach there. Zeus has proven to be a winner, dude. I mean, where he goes, those teams perform well. I don't think anyone saw Liquid performing at a top three level for as long as they have now, but he's got a lot to do with this. But yeah, I could definitely see an outside the box scenario here. Of
you heard it first. You heard it first right here.
Taco, Stewie swap, maybe Nitro, Tarek mix up if something were to happen there.
Oh, that'd be a cool team. Man, yeah. That'd be a squad.
We'll have to see.
Be a squad.
We will have to see.
Per sources, this is going down.
Sources, yeah.
Per sources, that's what's happening. Let's get into some e-news, though, shall we? Kind of a slow esports week. Lots and up and downs in Overwatch. Defran ended up retiring from Atlanta, so he's no longer part of the Overwatch League. Also, Defran comes out of retirement and rejoins Atlanta.
Oh my gosh!
The comeback is on.
All right, hey Atlanta, if you're listening to the show, cut bait, do it now.
That was like a harsh season retirement tweet that he had too. It was like. F this, like whatever, you know, like it was like it seemed so completely out of it. Like he uninstalled and went to McDonald's that same day. Like that's giving up right there, you know.
It's not just a sample size though. His instability goes back months.
Yeah,
months.
And in fact, you know what? Let's table this discussion. I put it in e-news today just because it happened and I wanted to say it on this episode. I really do want to do a dive on it though. Let's save this
Brett
for
Favre
next
versus
week.
Daffron comparison.
Because there's really a lot to talk about Defran and the XQC comparisons and is it worth it and all that. Let's table this for next week for a full on discussion.
Give Atlanta a little time to pick up XQC to really make this a worthy topic.
Let's make it all.
You know what?
Out.
If you're not going to get rid of Defran, do that, please.
I heard Dreamcasper isn't doing anything. Why don't you pick up Dreamcasper?
Okay, that's where I draw the line. That's where I draw the line. No.
You can have it. The trifecta would be complete. We'll talk about it next week, though, for sure. Because there's a lot to talk about with Defran and. Just in general.
And dark web bugs.
He wasn't the only person, though, to come out of retirement. Zero for the Smash community. He officially came out of retirement. You remember a couple months ago, he hung up the controller for Smash U and said, I might come back for Smash Ultimate. We'll go figure. He signs with Tempo Storm, and now he is playing Smash Ultimate with them. Don't know if... why he didn't go back to TSM, but you never know.
But not surprising that he came back, I don't think. I think there's just too much hype around this game.
No, it's not surprising at all. In fact, I feel like as an esports figurehead, right? As a esports, people look to us for their esports guidance, right?
Yeah, totally.
I will make this declaration, right? There's a few things. Don't be an esports guard dog, right? Don't correct people on how to spell esports. It doesn't matter. Stop it. Don't do that. Just be happy that they're talking about esports. How about that? Also, stop saying people are retiring in esports. These guys are like 21 years old. Just because they stopped playing a game doesn't mean they're retiring. That's such a dramatic way of saying, like, guys, Smash U gets me like $15 for getting first place. I don't think I'm going to play it anymore. I'll just stream for now until the new one comes out.
Yeah.
Like,
you think Armada or somebody comes back?
I think so, because with Armada, he is still doing duos. He just retired from single play. So he is still doing the duo tournaments here and there. So he's still going to be in the scene and get that itch, right? And also, I think when pros start seeing the prize pool for Smash Ultimate tournaments, because it's going to be there. Nintendo is backing this 110% more than they ever did Melee or Brawl or, you know, Smash 4. I think you're going to see a lot of pros jump ship to Ultimate.
It happens. Can't quit right before the money comes into it.
It happens with every game, you know?
Yeah.
How many people are like, man, Halo CE, Halo 2, those were the golden days, right? Or you hear, let's bring it up to a more relevant game with Call of Duty. There is a new Call of Duty every stinking year. World War II, the pros despised World War II. They hated World War II. Did the pros get together and say, guys, let's go play Modern Warfare 2 because that's what we all enjoyed more? No. They went where the money was and they went and played World War II for the year.
Yep.
Smash is the rare community that hasn't done it, right? They are the rare community and God love them for it, right? It's one of the amazing things about the FGC is that they will play an older game because it's better. Excluding Marvel vs. Capcom. So, you know, but I think Melee will always be there because it's just, that's where the memories are. But I think Ultimate is going to money whip so many of these pros to play it. It's going to be hard to say no.
Rest in peace, Stan Lee.
RIP to Stan Lee. It's emotional, man. I had adult tears this morning at work.
Tim mentioned Marvel vs. Capcom. I thought it was fitting to throw that in there.
I had adult tears this today at work when I read it.
And he trashed his game. He just trashed Marvel.
No. The new Marvel. Marvel vs. Capcom 2, greatest game of all time. New one? Not so much. Speaking of Smash, the Mango was this last weekend. Leffen ended up defeating S-Fat. That's always a fun tournament that Mango puts on. But this weekend is the best tournament in esports. The Smash Summit is this weekend. Hands down, the most entertaining.
The CS Summit disappointed me this year, so I'm hoping the Smash Summit lives up to what it's been in past years, because
we talked
CS
about
Summit
that last
really
week. The CS Summit
forward to.
Between the
that's
teams
right where I
there.
Hit. That's right where I hit stop on the
right there. You made it all the way.
Yeah, right there. Right there. I got stopped right there.
I think that was like our first topic.
I really hope that Smash Summit lives up to it.
Yeah, you know, it was a lot. The CS Summit. Yeah, it wasn't there this year.
But no team, none of the big teams were there.
That is
so
not deferring.
Help.
None of the big teams and none of the big talent, right?
Yeah.
They had to dig pretty deep for that talent. So, nonetheless, Smash Summit, nothing else is going on. You're going to have the pros there. It's always a lot of fun when they're the Smash Summit. So,
It's Tim's Super Bowl.
You know, one more thing for E-News.
One more thing for E-News.
Esports Awards did happen.
Oh. Yes.
So they made the announcements and just some of the big ones here. Obviously, console rookie of the year. I think it's pretty cool that it went to Kenny Williams, Kenny from now 100 Thieves, COD console player. Other big ones I would say would be esports team of the year, Astralis from Counter-Strike. Again, I think very fitting. They're probably the most dominant team in esports right now, taking out maybe a couple Korean teams that you could throw in there for various games. Overwatch League Grand Finals, live event of the year. I think, again, we can all agree that that was well put on, 100% thanks to Alchemist there. Broadcaster of the year, pretty cool. I thought this went to Maven. This went to Maven from Call of Duty World League. Call of Duty getting a lot of recognition in this esports award is kind of a theme that you see. Publisher
because
of the year,
fan voted.
I think this is the most controversial one. Publisher of the year being Blizzard. Game of the year, Overwatch.
Definitely not for BlizzCon.
Yeah.
After BlizzCon, Blizzard immediately told everyone, like, go vote for us or you are fired.
You're losing your job right now. Please. That's what they were doing 100 times a day. And then again, personality streamer went to Ninja and organization of the year. Tim, congratulations. Cloud9.
Cloud9. I got the wristband right here to prove it. Fanboy for life.
I bought you the chair, bro. That's how special. I knew that was.
You didn't really buy me the chair. I paid you for this chair.
Yeah, same thing.
But yep, all very well deserved there. You know, it's a fan voted award show, so take it for what you will. I say that until we're invited, and then hey, it's the best award show ever.
The second we win, but that's going on my back wall right here.
Right, I got a spot for it. But do you see in the corner where my box of comic books and cables have been sitting for 2 years? It's going to go right next to it.
But I swear to God, if someone calls our name and then says, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I'll run up on the stage. I'll take the trophy anyways. I'm like, no, he said it. He said my name.
Know what they're talking about? Go to our Twitter at the Center Ring.
Yeah.
It's retweeted on there. It's Steve Harvey all over again.
Yeah,
but it's
if
not,
you love uncomfortable.
If you
love uncomfortable, watch the video from the award show. It's
cringe.
Oh,
it's it's very cringy. But what can you do? What can you do? We'll be there 1 year, boys. Don't worry about it. It's fan voted, so if all of our listeners vote, we'll have like 10 votes. Maybe.
I think you undersell us so bad.
Can happen. Maybe. Underdog story of the lifetime. Like a TCR with 11 votes wins. They don't even have a category. I guess it would be the unsung
publisher
heroes.
Of the year.
It would be the unsung heroes, I guess, of esports for keeping it real here on the Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. That just does it for episode 130. We will be back next week talking about stuff. DeFran, I do really want to break that down. So we'll talk DeFran and Overwatch League a little bit next week, kind of that dynamic and how that's going. Thank you again to Daniel, owner of Brigade Esports, for coming on the show and talking about his new organization and charity. Definitely appreciate it. Again, check them out. Our Twitter at the Center Ring and our website is tcr.gg. Give us a follow. Let us know what you think of the show. If you hate it, don't care. If you love it, thank you. But for Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see you next time.